This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 910 The Fan.
Bring the energy!
It's happening.
Get it.
For your lives.
It's time for MP on the mic.
Cunning, capable, agile, flexible.
It gets me pumped and it gets me going.
Michael Phillips is... MP on the mic.
MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Happy Victory Monday to you. We're going inside the locker room in Landover in about 30 minutes. I give you my thoughts on the Commanders game. I want to take a quick spin around college football. We got to get to JMU. They have a quarterback. I know they had two quarterbacks. Now they have one quarterback. That's an improvement number of quarterbacks if you're keeping score in Harrisonburg. Washington's got a quarterback. Yeah, his name's Jaden Daniels. Come on. Nothing that happened yesterday is budging you off of that. Marcus Mariota led a complete team effort. That was exactly what it needed to be. Commanders beat the Raiders. Welcome aboard, everybody. Thank you to the Junkies for kicking us off. AWOD joins from Capital Ale House at noon. Grant and Danny will drive you home. Sat next to Grant in the press box. I think a lot of similar thoughts all around here, which is that's exactly what you needed in a week where your quarterback didn't play. Jaden Daniels didn't play, and if they lose, I think there's big questions about the quality of the roster top to bottom. Instead, you walk away feeling, okay, what we saw in week one against the Giants, defensive line, that may be for real. These guys, five sacks yesterday, tremendous performance up front. The veterans coming to play, Von Miller, Bobby Wagner, right, who looked a step slow in Green Bay. And then to overcome some of the things they overcame, start with that, where Pete Carroll watched the tape, man. He stays up late. He's got that Amazon subscription. Maybe Jeff Bezos comped him when he was in Seattle. I don't know. Maybe he's borrowing somebody's login. He knew what to do. He overloaded the tight ends on one side. He overloaded it four receivers on one side, four pass catchers on one side. He took advantage of that weakness early. The Commanders adjusted. We'll talk about that. Complete performance by the defense. Oh, and Dan Quinn got bloodied right before halftime. You will want to hear the offensive lineman react to DQ going down. He got stitched up in the locker room, then came in, gave his halftime speech, fired everybody up. One of those days that you're going to remember, an image you're going to remember of Dan Quinn with the bloodied nose. Apparently he's got a saying, be a bad MF-er. You'll hear, we'll get the bleep button's getting a workout during today's MP on the mic, but a very exciting win. Big for the Commanders to take care of business, a spot where you need to take care of business. Doesn't mean a thing. As they head on the road now, pair of road games coming up. You've got Atlanta next. Penix looked really bad yesterday. Will they give Kirk Cousins an opportunity? It's very possible. We'll find out as the week goes on. And then to Los Angeles, where the Chargers, of course, will present a big challenge for this team on the road out west in L.A. Chicago, who's a little feisty and certainly will want revenge for the Hail Mary game last year. A lot of tough games ahead. Which is why, when it's time to take care of business, you take care of business. And these guys took care of business yesterday. Fantastic outcome. For the Commanders, we'll dive into all that. Running back room, game what they need. I mentioned Marcus Mariota was fine. Didn't generate any quarterback controversy yesterday. This was an outstanding performance by the team. And you even go back to the start, Deebo Samuel. We'll talk about Deebo tomorrow on Commanders Rewind, of course. But... you know, Deebo getting it kicked off with the kickoff return. Chris Rodriguez steps in with some runs. Jeremy McNichols with a big run. Bill with a big run. Bill, the running back, will be calling his name this season a lot, you can tell, but a complete effort. And then reshuffled offensive line as well. Don't forget about those guys. Reshuffled offensive line was critical in this effort. Chris Paul getting the start. I believe that is the first time Chris Paul has started a game not due to injury in his 4 years here. A fascinating story there. Late round Ron Rivera draft pick. He transformed his body over the summer. He looks completely different than he used to. He's faster now, and Brandon Coleman is the healthy scratch, and Dan Quinn talked about it. He said, we're going to have competition on this team. He's not the best player this weekend practice, and we'll change things up week by week. It wouldn't surprise me if Brandon Coleman's back out there in that active lineup, but a fascinating turn of events there where they shuffle up the offensive line, leave Connerly out there, give him some help in the form of Trent Scott, the backup tackle, who, answer to the trivia question, of course, caught Jaden Daniels' first NFL touchdown pass. And I love the way they used him. You bring him in. You had six offensive linemen yesterday. John Bates wasn't there. In an ideal world, you've got John Bates. But I remind you, John Bates doesn't catch a lot of passes. Trent Scott doesn't catch a lot of passes either. That's the situation here. You need six offensive linemen right now. Hopefully, you get to the point where you don't. Laramie Tunsil takes a couple penalties yesterday, both penalty opportunities. They had the opportunity to tag another player with those, but they give it to Tunsil. He can handle it. He's a big boy. But you hope you get to the point where you only need five offensive linemen. But for right now, and you've been facing some good pass rushes, you put in the sixth. You put in Trent Scott. It pays off. It pays dividends for the Commanders, who give Marcus Mariota the time he needs to operate, give the running backs the holes they need. Big day for the running backs, and Marcus Mariota manages the whole thing, which is you spare Jaden. And obviously we'll get a Jaden update today. Dan Quinn will talk to the media this afternoon. AWOD will pass along updates as those happen. So we'll see where Jaden is. I would guess he'll play this week. I think it's extremely beneficial to be able to give him the week off and validating for everybody on the team, because Jaden's a guy who's going to get hurt occasionally. That's the reality of that situation. And that's not an insult to him or his playing style or anything like that. It's the reality of the NFL. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks that start all 17 games in a given season and also are dynamic and excellent players the way Jaden is. So there's that as well. It gives everybody the confidence that Marcus can do what he needs to do, manage the things, manage the roster, manage the running game, and then get it to Debo when you need to. Man, it was a Debo game. In the locker room after the game, Dan Quinn got a game ball. Adam Peters went up, chatted with Debo for a little while, and you could just tell a little bit of an admiration club there. All right, that's why you brought you here. All right, you keep playing like that, you're going to get yourself some deals in the NFL. You're going to get yourself some money this offseason. It's MP on the mic, Victory Monday edition on The Fan, and we'll go inside the locker room as we do on Mondays at 10:30. Fun day up in Landover yesterday. Tons of Bills fans, tons of Bills fans there. Tons of Raiders fans there, my goodness. I mess up. The PA guy kept saying Oakland, and after like the third one, I was like, oh, this isn't accidental. He's actually like trolling them. I'm not sure how effective that was, but they lost, so we're sticking with it. Third down, man. You know, it's, you got to, PA guys got to give your team every advantage they can. I kept calling them Oakland. They're the Las Vegas Raiders. They're also not the Bills. So we're all messed up. Tons of fans there, man. They like a Halloween party the way they dress up. And they were loud too. They were chanting even at the end. I love it. I don't think they were fazed at all by losing the game. I think they were there to have a good time, and I think they had a good time. I guess that is kind of the Raiders' way. If you think about it, that and a lot of penalties in the Al Davis situation as well. So yeah, a lot of Raiders fans. Strong atmosphere though. Place went electric when Terry caught the touchdown that got called back. Roof blew off that place. Everybody started chanting for Terry. Everybody wants Terry to get going so badly. Everybody's waiting for Terry to break through, get that touchdown, get that big catch. And Marcus didn't throw it deep often, so I think that was a big part of it as well. Didn't get a ton of opportunities, but Terry makes a couple catches, and we hope gets rolling, and we hope that means big things for him down the line, because a healthy Terry and a productive Terry is going to be good for everybody down the stretch. Victory Monday edition. Lots of college wins as well. JMU winner. UVA smoked Stanford. And then Andrew Luck was at the game yesterday. I actually still need clarity on that, why Andrew Luck was at the game. I know he knows everybody in the NFL. I don't think he has an active role with either of those teams, but he was hanging out on the sideline. Jaden Daniels came out, hung on the sideline towards the end of the game, which got weird because it was over, but there's still a lot of time left, and the Raiders understood that the secondary is basically done for Washington, and that's not today's topic. But man, that's going to be tomorrow's topic and Wednesday's topic as we get into game week. This team, which had a lot of injury luck last year, has had no injury luck this year. And at one point, they were playing safeties as corners because everybody was so banged up. Harris goes down early. Amos goes down. There was a lot. Lattimore is the other one. Lattimore went down as well. There was a lot of injuries coming out of this game, a lot of guys leaving banged up, and I don't think that's going to cure itself in a week here. I fear they're kind of getting paid back for all the injury luck they had last year. They're regressing, because I don't think they were doing anything wrong either, but that's a situation we're going to be watching. That's a situation we'll be watching for a while in Washington, because 2-1, big game coming up against the Falcons, pair of road games, Falcons Chargers. You'd love to split that road series. But also, a lot of promise from the young running backs. No Austin Eckler, but Chris Rodriguez fills that role nicely. McNichols breaks one, shows a little speed. Terry almost gets one at wide receiver, but it was Debo's day. And I'll be curious, if Debo keeps playing this well, do they find a way? Do we need to start the discussion? What does it look like to sign Debo to a 2-year extension and chalk it up to Jaden's on his rookie deal? You cannot afford both Debo and Terry when Jaden's off his rookie deal, and honestly, you probably can't afford either. But is that a luxury you can enjoy in the next few years? Sure feels like it might be possible. Sure feels like a discussion we'll be having. We're with you for the next 2 hours. AWOD takes over at Capitol Ale House. Recapping Victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. Nice taking care of business win. We'll catch it from all angles. I want to go around the world of college football. And then at 10:30, we'll take you inside the locker room. You're listening to the home of the Commanders in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan.
Yeah, the mic.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Catch us worldwide on the free Odyssey app. And it's time to take you inside the locker room with the Washington Commanders. We're giving the bleep button a workout today. We called it. Dan Quinn gets bloodied up. Marcus Mariota runs into him. It's a good thing Marcus Mariota delivered the W. Also delivered his coach a game ball after the win, which was a nice touch as well, probably needed after what he did. Marcus Mariota plows into Dan Quinn. Dan's bleeding. Maggie hits a field goal. We haven't even talked about him yet. He loses his job in the first quarter for sure, then maybe regains his job in the second quarter. I would guess they'll bring somebody in to push him, but also the reality of this is they're paying him for the next 14 weeks, whether he plays or not. So the bias here is to stick with him. I think he's probably kicking again on Sunday, but man, what a dangerous game to be playing with the kicking situation. I don't think Matt Gay's ever going to be as reliable from 50 plus as you need him to be for that money, but is he consistent enough that you can stick with him and solve this problem after the season? I think that's something we'll be negotiating in the coming weeks as well. But on to the offensive line. Dan Quinn has a saying for the guys, be a bad MF-er, and everybody alluded to it as they were talking about their coach and about what he went through and about what it meant to the team to watch him come in the locker room right after that. And so we're going to start with a couple offensive linemen. Tyler Bianish is up first on Inside the Locker Room.
Coach got knocked down, bloodied in the face. You thought what?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We'll keep. I was going to say he's a bad motherfucker. You know, so. No, but yeah. So, yeah. No.
We can bleep.
Yeah, you can bleep it out. No, man, but no, he's a truly, like, he's a fighter. He's gritty as and that's, you know, that's the mentality that we have too, you know, as players playing for him. And he took a shot and, you know, we ball, so, you know, I don't really care about that, you know, like as an interview with those swearing, bro. Like, he took a shot.
How does something like that motivate a team?
I mean, it's just, I mean, pop right back up. I mean, and we kick the field goal before half, too. I mean, that's momentum, too, even in regards of just seeing what happened. Like, and, you know, he's strong, man. Like, you know, we came into halftime, and he was ready here. So he stitched up or whatever they did, and, you know, he was good to go. Man, he's a fighter, and we love that about him. And what he stands for sure.
Speaking of gritty, what did you think about the young guys, Bill, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen, getting all everybody in the end zone today?
Yeah, I mean, diverse group. You know, obviously, like, you know, the way Chris runs, J Mac, and Bill, Ja'Cory, just the way they run with their pass down and the versatility of, like, the vision and how they can set up blocks. You saw that a lot today, those second reaction plays where it might not be the quickest hit, but the developing their vision and how they saw the cut, whether it be backside or play side, you saw that. And the grittiness of just fighting through arm tackles, and you saw that on J-Mac's run. That's huge, huge, huge momentum, but also, you know, gives us even more of that, like, thrill of, like, you know, this play isn't going to be over within the first 4 seconds in, like, a common maybe play. But in reality, like, these plays, like, we're covering the ball, we're finishing, we're getting four extended yard pops at it where it's, like, you know, gives you as much encouragement as you possibly can get because you're doing it right. So, like, to keep the run game involved, but also the versatility coming off of it, like I just saw with Terry. Like, there's so many great opportunities where, you know, you get the run game going, it can really open up a lot of things.
Y'all shook up the offensive line this week. What was it you were going for that you felt maybe you hadn't had so far this week?
No, I mean, you just obviously we didn't play to our standard in Green Bay. But at the same time, like, turn the page, get better, go to work, take action on it, you know, bring that visualization in it, you know, and set the tone early. And just like how he said with Debo, like, that's setting the tone, like, and with our run game and how we came out with the tempo and you know, we set the tone today, and that's the standard that we need to, you know, we got to keep living in, and that's just the repetitiveness of it, right? Like, you know, waking up, what are we? You know, just keeping that reality, like I said before.
It's Tyler Bianish. He's the center. He's calling shots. He's seen a lot of different looks, a lot of different arrangements, and he saw a lot of that just on Sunday alone, which was fascinating because Dan Quinn clearly felt they needed a spark on the offensive line, started Chris Paul, moved some pieces around, made Brandon Coleman inactive, got what he was looking for. I think Biadasz is as close to essential personnel as you get. Tunsil's still playing well. He's had some penalties this year. He's near the top of the league in that category. But I think he settled in yesterday. Connerly got some help from Trent Scott, was able to settle in, do what he does. Andrew Wiley, also on the offensive line, right guard, getting his first start of the season, earning his way back into the lineup during a competitive week of practices, and, as you'll hear, enjoys playing football.
Yeah, love getting out there with the guys, man. I mean, it's fun as you know. Sorry, but you know, it was true. You know, it was awesome. You know, just being back out there with the guys, and you know, having a good day, running the rock too. I mean, it's just cherry on top. So, you know, shout out to you know the other four up front, man. We were just having fun out there, and then, you know, those you know, runners, you know, guys carrying the ball just refusing to go down just makes for a fun night.
Since we're cursing, we learned about Dan Quinn's motto there. DQ goes down, he popped right back up. Didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, that's a tough MF, man. I mean, dude, he's a you know, it's you know, it's not, obviously you don't want to like rally behind something like that, but like he, you know, he's in here, you know, getting the guys riled up, man, just bleeding, you know what I mean? So it's it's inspiring for sure, man. And you know, I think everyone say the same thing, man. Go to lengths for that guy. So.
Did you all kind of check on the? What was the vibe on that? On the sidelines?
He came up and you know he's giving the O-line fist pounds after that, after coming out of halftime and everything. And so we're all like, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, definitely getting the guys fired up for sure.
Yeah, just had so many injuries to deal with these last couple weeks. The way this team responded to those injuries and maybe some adversity from last week, what does that say about the squad?
Yeah, you know, it's something that DQ has preached since, you know, he's gotten here. It's next man up mentality. And so you never know when your number's going to get called. And so, you know, we had to, you know, shuffle some things around in the tight end room. And, you know, we're running with 6 O-linemen out there and some new faces up front. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just fun. And so, like, you know, I can truly say that everyone's prepared, you know, since OTAs and training camp for that next man up mentality.
As y'all were in the film room watching that Packers game, what was it you wanted to get back to this week?
You know, us up front specifically, we want to just get our identity back. You know, we love running the rock, and, you know, we're truly trying to make that, you know, part of our, you know, our motto this year. And, you know, I like to think we got a little back on track tonight, and, you know, the you know, runners were motivated, you know, and it's just, you know, you can see it in their eyes, so it just fires us up front.
So many different running backs having success, too.
Yes, man. It's like we don't know who our best two are, you know. We got, like, it's the best group, you know what I mean? And so those guys show up, and, you know, it's as fun as hell blocking for those guys, man.
Thank you.
That's Andrew Wiley inside the locker room, 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Love giving you access to the players, the coaches after the game. All right, enough said. Let's get to the head coach. He's the one who got bloodied up, inspired the team to a dramatic victory over the Raiders. Here's Dan Quinn.
Well, we made the kick and came in, and then we went out and started it again. But, you know, we all had a good laugh about it for sure.
What did that feel like?
Yeah, probably like you'd expect. And, you know, it's kind of part, like, yeah, don't want it to happen, but it was all good.
Getting stitches?
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that's DQ, Coach Dan Quinn inside the locker room. That's about as fun of an inside the locker room as we've had in a while. Don't go anywhere. We got plenty more for you on the other side. You're listening to Richmond's Home of the Commanders. This is 910 The Fan at 105.1. Happy on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, taking you inside the locker room on a Washington Commanders Victory Monday. Remind you, the fun does not stop at noon. AWOD Radio takes over. He's live at Capitol Ale House. Go relive your favorite parts of the game with him. A fun moment in the game. They played a little montage about RFK. As you know, the new RFK Stadium bill got officially passed this week. And so they put up a little video. They showed Josh Harris. He got a standing O. Now, everybody always talks about, like, oh, man, last owner never would have got a standing O. And you forget that he actually did at the beginning, which everybody thinks that I'm spoiling the party when I point that out. There's still a ways to go to judge Josh Harris. But in terms of the stadium, slam dunk. Being back at RFK, he got a richly deserved standing O for that. A reminder, Dan Snyder never built a stadium. He inherited FedEx Field. Inherited as Jack Kent Cook Stadium, turned it into FedEx Field. New ownership turned it into Northwest Stadium. Now they're turning it into a big pile of rubble on the ground because it's time to move back to RFK, which I think everybody's jazzed about, which will make for a lot better of a game day experience, especially for us Richmond folks who don't have to cross the Legion Bridge and deal with Maryland. You know, all the Maryland. We don't like dealing with all the Maryland. That'll be fun. That's 5 years away, but it's worth looking forward to. And owner gets a big round of applause. That's not nothing. That's a vote of endorsement from the fan base. I was, and we'll get into this more on Rewind tomorrow, sure. I'm sure. I'm also intrigued. The Packers did a lot of things that the Raiders clearly took notes from. So starting with the early touchdown for the Raiders, where they put out, you know, they overloaded one side, a lot of motion, a lot of confusion from the tight ends, and certainly they had two really good tight ends. Lost one of them in Michael Myers in the middle of the game, but were able to duplicate a little bit of what the Packers did. Commanders, I wouldn't say adjusted well in the secondary. I would say got back to rushing the passer, got back to getting after the passer, which they did so well against Russell Wilson. You remember coming out of that game against the Giants, I said, Russ didn't have time to think, let alone throw. Then you see him light it up against the Cowboys. The Packers get it out quickly. Geno Smith did not get it out quickly at any point. He had the one scramble kind of Jaden style where he saved it almost. But on the whole, not enough time for him back there. A great work by the boys up front and a phenomenal performance up there to give the secondary the cushion they needed to play as aggressively as they needed. And that gives us the opportunity to go inside the locker room once again, hear from our guy, Mikey Sanristil. Here he is.
For you guys to flush that Packers game, get back out, show what you showed week one, what was that mentality like all week to reset?
You just got to move on to the next opponent, you know, learn from whatever happened the game before, and then you just shift your focus to the next opponent.
A big win, but obviously a lot of injuries too. How's everybody coming out of this, and what was that like trying to field a roster there at the end? It looked like
a few guys got banged up, but it's all just, you know, next man up. Just got to be ready. Everybody prepares as if they're the one anyway. So when you just have guys with that mentality, it makes it easier to trust the next man.
You can play a lot of positions. We learned today a lot of other guys can as well. What's that say about this defensive back group?
That's just how we roll. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have a whole bunch of guys who are multi-positional players. So just being able to have the knowledge of when I'm learning the defense, learning it as a whole concept, not just individual, position. So just having that, having that psyche, just knowing, hey, look, I could be a nickel one play, I could also be a corner the next play. So just learning both at the same time.
How much does the takeaways? How much is that in the back of your mind? Like, it's time to get one, you know?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that's constantly there. Is like when the ball's in the air, you know, got to be thinking about it. When they're running the ball, got to be thinking about punching it up. But I think where things can go wrong is when you go fishing to make plays. You're trying to do stuff that you're not normally doing. Now, within the game, you have a few plays where you know it's probably going to be this play based off of what they run, and that could be the one time you take a chance, take a shot. But for the most part, you know what I'm saying, the ball finds good, you know what I'm saying, good. The ball finds good play. So I think that's how those turnovers begin happening.
Congrats on the win.
And sometimes it's easier to ask a tough question after a win than after a loss, as crazy as that sounds. Like, y'all want the tough questions asked after losses, and after wins, you want to hear, like, man, aren't you guys awesome? But it felt like the right moment to ask, what's with not getting a takeaway? And what's that? And I like that phrase, the ball will reward good plays. I appreciate that mentality of not forcing it, of not saying, we're going to go make a takeaway happen no matter what because we don't have one, and we understand that correlates with victory and we understand how important that is. I appreciate that thought of let's all settle down a little bit here. This is a good defense. We're doing good things, and we're hoping they'll come. And, man, Amos almost got one there. It was bobbling. It was tipping. Almost had it. It will come for these guys. I love that the defense has been dominant twice without a takeaway. I don't love that there hasn't been a takeaway. I hope that's something that changes in the games to come. But if it doesn't, you can also feel like you're in a better spot here because of how the defense has been playing recently. A guy who's seen a lot of things defensively, but maybe has never seen his coach get bloodied up in a football game. Here's Bobby Wagner. We're inside the locker room on 910 The Fan. Before we start, I'll set this up by saying Bobby was asked about flushing that Packers game, which was such a bad result for him and for the team.
It sucks to lose a game like that on a Thursday, because then you have so much time to sit and think about it. But, you go back to the drawing board. You know that's not the team that we want to be. That's not the team that we are. And you just try to correct those mistakes, be accountable of all the things that happened, and try not to make them happen again.
Your coach went down today.
Yeah.
Your quarterback got him.
It's crazy.
But everybody keeps saying that he was kind of a positive, that he was like, let's go. Don't worry about it.
Man, I think it just represents who he is, to be honest. Like, he talks about it all the time. Just his mentality, and it's literally like if you get knocked down, get back up and keep going. Like, he literally did that. His nose is bleeding, everything's just bleeding, had a cut, And he stayed there, locked in, and, you know, got some treatment at halftime and came back out. So it was cool to see.
Yeah, it's a new one even for the veteran. And then off the top there, that was him talking about Flushing last week. Man, it's so easy to overreact in the NFL, right? They lose to the Packers, they'll never be good again. They smash the Raiders, they'll never lose again. We're still feeling out what this team is, and at the risk of moving the goalposts again, I think you've got some really good tests coming in the next 3 weeks. You've got a Falcons team that has playoff ambitions, has struggled out of the gate, but certainly has talent. You've got a Chargers team that will be in the playoffs, but are they Super Bowl good? I think they're still trying to figure that out. And then you've got a Bears team that very clearly has talent, and Ben Johnson is looking to maximize Caleb Williams, and we're still waiting to see what that becomes. I think you've got some really good tests over the next few weeks. I think Bobby Wagner do a good job of playing it even, flushing the game. And he did that last year, too, you remember. Gave the pep talk after the Tennessee game or before the Tennessee game. Got everybody on the same page. He's going to have to assume that role again this year because this is a group that's still figuring out who it is. Two very dominant defensive performances at home. You won't hear it on Inside the Locker Room by Chad with Javonte Jean-Baptiste after the game for a couple minutes. And he said, when we're playing at home, we felt like it's 12 against 11, which was just so cool for me to hear as a guy who's so used to not having any home field advantage to speak of in Washington. And he's right. Parking lot's been sold out the last 2 weeks. Energy's been there. They're doing the pre-show, the all the things they do. They did mascot football at halftime. By the way, mascot football is my favorite bit, where they bring the mascots out and they truck the little kids. I can't get enough of mascot football. Maybe that's just me. But I think that's the best thing they do. It was hilarious. Gee whiz, the Wizards mascot just plowing over a 9-year-old football player. That's the stuff highlights are made of. Lots of other stuff highlights are made of as well. One of those things is explosive plays, and the Commanders had a lot of them yesterday, and we'll go over some of those. We'll hear from some of the guys who made them. We'll stay inside the locker room for one more segment, then we'll take you up to noon, AWOD Radio. Who's talking tonight? 6 o'clock, big UVA win for them to get to. Lots of fun today. Glad you could join us on a Victory Monday. Hour number 2 loading. You'll hear it right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1. Victory Monday, MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard. I'm MP. You can find me on social media, Michael P. in RVA, 910 The Fan's on social as well, and we give you the most opportunities to win cool stuff in town. I've got a sneak peek. We got cool stuff coming for you at some point. We got a great week as we get you ready for a game against the Falcons and waiting for the smoke signals from Atlanta on who their quarterback is. Probably Michael Penix, I think, but he's been bad. And Kirk Cousins, still around, still making that money. That's why you don't deal him in the offseason, so you don't have to punt on a season after 3 weeks. But will they let him have a revenge game against his former team? We will find out. No Preston Smith. They did not rush him into the lineup. Worked out. Javonte Jean-Baptiste was fantastic. Dorrance Armstrong now is sack in all 3 games for the Commanders' defense, which that defensive line, so good against the Giants, so bad against the Packers, so good again against the Raiders. So where did we land? Nobody knows. We're still sorting things out. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We'll be with you to help you make sense of it all. I do think Preston Smith will be a contributing piece once he gets a chance to be back in. That's something we'll be monitoring over the coming weeks. Right now, we're wrapping up our Inside the Locker Room segment. Always love doing that on Mondays. And we've noticed over the years, by the way, happy second birthday to this show. It turns 2. Turned 2 earlier this month. We didn't have an official birthday party. Probably should have done that. This show entering year 3, which is very exciting to me as somebody who didn't know how long it would last at all, to still be talking football, to still be at the game, still having fun with y'all, is obviously really cool. As I do, you know, I did the Richmonder as well at the same time. That's still humming. So it's cool. It's a cool thing. We did an event for the Richmonder on Friday, which is really neat, celebrating 25 people in the community. And I know Odyssey does a ton of that as well. So I love affiliating with people who do good things and respect good things and we got a good thing going here. Hazel's been awesome running the board. And, of course, the afternoon team, Stubb and AWOD, a ton of fun as well. So keep the good times rolling. All of which is to say, I'm off on the tangent again. I've noticed inside the locker room takes a lot longer after a win than after a loss. We also spend longer in the locker room, too. The locker room does not clear out instantly like it sometimes does after bad losses. But here we are. We're inside the locker room. Lots to get to, including you'll hear from Bill momentarily. I know everybody wants to hear from Bill. Bill draws the biggest, like, non-Jaden Daniels media crowd of anybody. Everybody loves Bill. And Bill loves everybody back. Bill wore a Sean Taylor throwback to the game. I was chatting with him after he did his official media duties, and he had said, you'll hear it. Let's just start with Bill. Everybody loves Bill. We're going to Bill. Ja'Cory Krotsky-Merritt had a great game. Chris Rodriguez started. Jeremy McNichols had his big play. Four running backs, essentially. Marcus Mariota also having himself a game on the ground. He crossed 40 yards before garbage time. It was a day where the offensive line protected well, the running backs did well. You'll hear him say, he was wearing the Sean Taylor throwback to the game. This is Bill again. That he found it at the mall. I was like, hang on, they didn't even hook you up? And he was like, nah, man, I was at the mall walking around, and I saw the Sean Taylor. I was like, I got to have that, so I bought it. Good for Bill. Bill knows what it is to be a fan favorite in Washington. I think he's got the chance to be one for a little while. I don't think there's any fantasy football upside right now, though, because I think this is a three-headed monster for the foreseeable future, and I think Debo's getting a lot of touches as well. There's a lot of running backs who can make some noise in Washington. That's awesome for this team. That's bad for fantasy football. Awesome for this team. I don't know why I'm still yapping because Bill talked. Here's Bill.
Man, it was good. Like, we all pros. Like, we all good at our jobs. And shout out to Marcus. Like everybody know, like, he's a pro and, like, how he carries himself. Like, he's been, like, doing this a long time. And, like, we just had, like, 100% faith in him.
What did you think when Dan Quinn went down?
I really didn't see it. I didn't really see when he fell down. But I seen, like, he had blood on his nose. And, like, he tough, so, like, he was all right.
Jeremy McNichols, your teammate.
Oh, yeah.
Gets down to bust off three people and gets the touchdown. Talk a little bit about his promise tonight.
It was great. It come from, like, preparation. Like, we work hard as a unit. We push each other, like, to be the best we can be. And it was good just to see him just do that long run. I mean, it was a great run. And I'm just super excited for it.
How calm and comfortable do you guys feel when Marcus is out there?
He's calm. I mean, he's been doing this for a long time, and we had like 100% faith in him, and like he's just a great leader.
Thank you, yeah. Bill. What made you want to wear Sean Taylor's jersey on the way in today?
I actually was at the mall, and I was passing through Dick's, and I seen his jersey. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta get this, and like I'm gonna wear it for pregame, and that's what kind of made me get it. And I've been watching him since I was younger, and I was like, yeah, this is no brainer.
You all shook up the offensive line this week. What did that group do for you today?
They did great. They went out there, executed their job, and it was just good to see how versatile the guys can be on the O-line.
Yeah, that was a statement request by Dan Quinn. Game four of the season. Change up your offensive line. Brandon Coleman, who was so good for you last year, in a tight spot to say, all right, buddy, why don't you take the week off? Why don't you work on your game? Come back, fight harder for it next week. We got Chris Paul. Chris Paul's doing his thing. Chris Paul chatted with me and Grant Paulson after the game. Here he is.
It's a very, very, very big opportunity. We overall just have a super talented unit. And so it's an honor to be able to, in year four, have this opportunity and continue to capitalize on any opportunities I get going forward.
And then you guys had three different backs cooking. You had the 60-yarder from McNichols. Rodriguez had the big first drive. Bill had some moments. What's that mean for you up front, that it kind of doesn't matter who's back there, that they've all got some operating space?
We're blessed to have our backs. We are absolutely blessed to have our backs. We have their back all the way, and they got ours.
For you personally, being in year four, two coaching staffs, different schemes, different things, what's it like to be on the other side of that, still be getting these opportunities?
It's an absolute, absolute blessing. I don't take any opportunities in this league for granted. And so I'm very blessed, and very thankful for the win today and continue to capitalize on that.
As Chris Paul, we lumped him in with the running backs here for Inside the Locker Room, not the offensive line. One, because he didn't curse and say Dan Quinn was a bad MF-er, which the others did. You can hit the Odyssey rewind button, get back to 10:30 if you missed our friends, Mr. Andrew Wiley and Mr. Tyler Biadasz, who were very colorful in their description of Dan Quinn's bloody halftime, which was a ton of fun. But no, he was also talking about just the versatility. Blessed to have these running backs. That includes Debo. That included Mariota, who had some wheels yesterday. How about Marcus Mariota putting on some wheels? Very impressive what we saw out of him. Here's Jeremy McNichols, who broke off a long one, and he relived that experience for us.
Saw a big push from the O-line, tight ends. It was a great call by Cliff. And, you know, I just seen a bunch of guys trying to tackle me and tried to make a play and, you know, got to peek out of it and just go out there and finish. You know, saw green grass and just got to finish in the end zone.
And what is that? We'll never experience it. What is that feeling like, knowing that you've propelled your squad with that kind of run?
Oh, it's great. You know, just being able to make a play for the team and working all week and coming off a tough loss. And this is what we talked about right after that loss. You know, we took some time away, and once we came back to work on Monday, we knew what needed to be done. We knew we needed to, you know, some sparks in the room, and I think that's what happened today.
Jeremy, what was your view of Marcus barreling into DQ?
Oh man, I mean, I was out there, I was blocking, and then I seen a safety coming down, and I seen Marcus trying to get out of bounds, and I seen him run into DQ, but DQ, he a bad man, so you know, that's how he lives, so that's how we live as well. We back him, so I'm glad he got up, I'm glad he's okay, and I think that really propelled us after that too.
And what is a run like yours, how does that set up play action that went to Terry later that opened things up, and how effective can that
be? Yeah, I think the run game always is going to open up the pass game, so establishing that early and having success with that is going to open up the pass game downfield, and you know, Terry was able to capitalize on that.
All right, got to force this in. We'll let this run long, but we got to talk to Marcus Mariota. He's a quarterback. He's the star. Here he is.
Belief is so powerful, and those guys from Monday were just, hey, you got this. And I think that instilled confidence in me to just go out there and just kind of play my game. But it was cool to see kind of all three phases come together, and it's a great stepping stone for us as we move forward in the season. I know, I felt so bad. I was trying to hold him up as much as I could, but he bounced up like a champ. So we're good. We're good.
Marcus, it was a, you know, there was some mistakes early on in all phases. How did you guys kind of get tightened up and calmed down and start to, you know, move the ball pretty well?
Yeah, I think first of all, we just didn't blink. We understand kind of there's going to be ebbs and flows in the game, and regardless of how those go, we never want to ride the roller coaster. And our team does a great job of just staying kind of that same level all game, and knew that if we just executed a little more cleanly, that we could score some points and get some stops and do some good things on special teams.
I'm not trying to up on this. Did you know that it was DQ and that he went down pretty hard?
I realized it as I was getting pushed, and I was trying my best to hold him up as I could, and like I said, he went into the training room and like just got bandaged up and was like, all right, let's keep going. And I think that's what really kind of got the guys going in the second half.
Marcus, you got a lot of lineup changes, yourself included, but the two on the offensive line, what did that switch do for you guys at the end of this game?
Well, I think they did a great job. It's never easy, especially to switch guys, especially up front, in the course of a season. But I thought those guys came in, played well, and the way we were controlling line of scrimmage, running the football, it really opened up some things in the pass game in the second half. And it goes a lot of credit to those guys. You know, Chris and Wiley, just vet guys that were ready to go. And we're truly grateful for them and grateful for that O-line room, because when you switch guys out like that, you know, there can be some animosity, there can be some hurt feelings, but that group is very tight, and there was none of that throughout the course of the week. And guys just knew that, hey, I got a job to do. I got to do my best. And they kind of rallied together and put together a really good game.
As Marcus Mariota, he's a quarterback of the Washington Commanders. Was he sensational? No. Was he make it a quarterback controversy? No, not even a little bit. Did he do exactly what he needed to do to give Jaden Daniels a much-needed week of rest? Yes, he did. All judgments are made in retrospect in football. In retrospect, Dan Quinn made exactly the right decision by giving Jaden Daniels the week off. Everything worked out according to plan. Everybody's happy. Is a victory Monday. Except maybe Dan Quinn, because dude would have got a concussion protocol if he was a player. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a lot more. We're going to do a little college football real quick. I'm way past the break. Let's get to it. Little college football real quick. Then we're back with more Commanders talk on a victory Monday. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app. We'll get you inside the Commanders locker room as we do every Monday. That will be coming up in about 15 minutes. First, though, a trip into the wild and wonderful world of college football. UVA, Tech, JMU, all roll. Let's start with the Dukes because we've been talking about this quarterback situation. Big game, right? JMU, Liberty. Liberty trying to prove it belongs in the Sun Belt, needs an invite. They can hang with the best group of five teams. JMU is certainly not out of position to make the playoffs. There's a lot of football between now and then. I don't know if this is the team, this is the year, but your close loss at Louisville is going to look very respectable, so they can't afford to slip up on their path to their ultimate goals. They hang tight for three quarters. JMU pulls away in the fourth, but the notable thing here is that JMU finally picks a quarterback and stays with him. Alonzo Barnett is your quarterback now for the Dukes. Matt Sluka does not come in as the running option. And for Bob Chesney, that's the topic postgame, right? I understand it's a big win, state opponent, but you've been talking about how great this two-quarterback setup is for the last few weeks. You go to one quarterback, it's time for questions postgame. Anybody got any questions for Coach?
Wow, first question. Yeah.
You guys are unbelievable. How much did you see him just kind of settle into the game and handle that role?
Yeah, I thought he did a great job. I thought he did a really good job. And there were what we did a really good job of today was that we were efficient on first down. We were able to not get ourselves into those, you know, fourth and two, gotta have it, you know, backed up, maybe going for it. We weren't in those scenarios, you know, and then there were moments where he was able to, you know, pull the ball down and run himself. And then I thought he was efficient in a pass game. I thought, you know, he was really connected with the receivers. They were all on the same page. I thought, to me, Lakota Dupree's play was probably the spark we needed at like the most important moment of the day. So I think those two being on the same page and the way they were able to operate, I thought was really good. They handled themselves really well as an entire offense, and obviously it starts with the quarterback.
All right. I love that move, by the way. That you caught that right out of the gate there. The little, first question? Really? We're going right there? And that's not – he knows what the first question is. Everybody knows what the first question is. The first question is, you used to have two quarterbacks. Now you have one quarterback. What's up with that? I love the – like, that's not anything other than a little gamesmanship right there by Bob Chesney. You're going to ask me that? Really? Or are we going to spend the whole press conference talking about the quarterbacks? Because this is ridiculous because I coach – 53 football players. That's college. Now I coach 90, 100, whatever, how many football players. And you just want to talk about the quarterback. Well, yeah, of course we want to talk about the quarterback. By the way, you may have noticed there was no answer in that. There was no explanation in that. So let's ask the question again.
Guy under center or just...
No, not at all. I think it had to do with how well, like, let's focus on this offensive line and these tight ends and how hard these running backs played. That's something you should really focus on as you guys go back and look at this, because that is, to me, what stood out more than anything. This offensive line, the tight ends, we were running behind those tight ends all day long, and then these running backs just put their pads down and went to work. It was awesome to see.
All right, we're still not any closer to having an answer than we were before. Why don't we talk about the offensive line? Why don't we talk about the tight? Why are you not asking me about the offensive line? Bob Chesney, we're not asking about the offensive line because you used to have two quarterbacks. Now you have one quarterback. And Matt Sluka, who you brought here from UNLV, he was kind of in the news. He was kind of a guy last year that people were talking about. Hey, UNLV's not paying me. I'm sitting out the season. Now he ends up at JMU. All right, so we got a situation here, right? We'd like to know about that. Why don't we take one more crack at it? So was it Liberty? Did you see something in the matchup?
It wasn't that. I think it was the way the game came about it, right? I think that, again, this was a situation where we were in full control of that game. We didn't put ourselves in a situation where we were stuck in third and shorts. We were able to run the football, you know, in our offense. We were able to pass, you know, protect and throw the ball. This was just a game that we did a really good job of offensively. And obviously it starts with the quarterback position, you know, and I think that's a big piece of it. So I thought he did an unbelievable job. He led the team and you know, protected the football. That one interception is really that you can't blame him on that necessarily. I thought he did a good job overall, and I think that his growth will continue.
That is Bob Chesney. He is the coach of the James Madison Dukes, and he is not interested in telling you why, after going to bat for having two quarterbacks, he decided to go to one all of a sudden by popular demand. JMU beats Liberty, pulls away in the fourth quarter, a very nice win for them, obviously. I think that'll hold up nice, and also that's a bragging rights win when you're talking about recruiting and you're talking about, you know, Liberty's got those really nice facilities, and that stadium is just incredible. If you've never been to a game there, the Liberty game day experience is unreal, the amount of money they've put into that place. I've been in their weight room, which is nicer than many NFL weight rooms, certainly nicer than the Commanders have. So when you're fighting against that, you need results on the field, right? If you're recruiting against a kid who's thinking about going to Liberty, you want to be able to say, all right, sure, but we beat them. And they did. And look, Chesney, I don't want to talk about it. He's a football coach. I get that. But it's the story. And it's the right call. I get you don't want to take a victory lap because you don't want to dunk on Sluka or anything like that. But it's the right call, of course, to go from two quarterbacks to one quarterback. Barnett, an incredible recovery from his injury. He's back this year. He looks good. And Sluka was a great backup plan. But it's clear who the best quarterback is. It's clear who JMU's quarterback needs to be to make this season happen the way they want it to happen. And Bob Chesney makes the right call. That's your headliner there at JMU. Down to one quarterback, it's Alonzo Barnett. He made an incredible comeback from a late season injury last year, and he is now your JMU starting quarterback. At least according to me, according to Bob Chesney, we need to be talking about that offensive line. Did you see that offensive line? Look at how good that offensive line was. Hey, look, something shiny over there. Pay no mind to my quarterbacks behind you. Yeah, it's a fair question. And we're going to keep asking the question, and people are going to keep asking the question. It's a very fair question. What's the deal with your quarterbacks? And if he wants to play football coach games, that's fine. But I thought that was a pretty weak answer for sure. Great results, though. You keep winning, you can do whatever you want. That's the lesson of football coaching. You stop winning, all of a sudden you're Dabo Swinney. Man, we got problems down at Clemson. Dabo's buyout this year, $63 million. Next year goes down to $60 million. That's still not a lot. He's owed a lot of money to coach football. He didn't become a bad football coach, right? That doesn't happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and become a bad football coach. That's not what's going on here. But he did wake up one day and decide, I'm not going to do the transfer portal. And that is really hurting him right now as a football coach. But his unwillingness to play in the transfer portal, he basically running a VMI team. VMI doesn't do the transfer portal because that's school policy. Dabo Swinney doesn't do it because he's a relationships guy. And you wonder here, they lost 34-21 to Syracuse, by the way. If you missed that on Saturday, Clemson off to its worst start in a very long time. And they looked bad, too. I think that's the big takeaway for me. Clemson looked bad. It wasn't just, oh, you know, this was, you know, a bad game or rough outing. Lost to Georgia Tech, lost to Syracuse in back-to-back weeks. That's not where Clemson sees itself in the ACC pecking order. And a lot of that is, I think they have the resources to go into the portal. I really do. For Dabo, though, are you going to adjust? Are you going to swallow your tongue, you know, eat the shoe, Bob Chesney style, and make the call and bench one of your quarterbacks? Or are you going to continue to stand on this, you know, crusade for, oh, we don't do things that way here? That's not how we do things at Clemson football. Well, you're going to need to start doing things that way. It's a new world. Everybody's got to be adjusted to it. Bama's going to have to adjust to it, right? Kids don't want to just come play there because it's Bama anymore. Kids want to go where they're going to get paid, because money talks. It's a salary cap league in a lot of ways now. We talk about that, right? NFL teams don't really recruit players. It happens a little bit, but NFL teams don't really recruit players. You know who recruits players? Colleges. When you can't play, when you can't pay. High schools, right? When you can't pay. When you can pay, you recruit, you show your love with a dollar sign. And Clemson is so far not doing that, and we are seeing them fall apart. I think at this point, right, you got a few options here. One is Dabo's stubborn. He's going to prove he can do it his way, and you kind of just got to let him unless you find a big check and fire him. That's going to get messy. Some people are going to be really unhappy about that. That's not going to go well at all. I don't think firing Dabo is a viable option. Number two is Dabo adjusts. That's the best case scenario, right? Dabo's like, all right, I'm going to hire a general manager. I don't want to deal with this. I'm a relationships guy, but I'm going to hire a general manager. I'm going to let him go pick the team every year. I'm going to coach him up because I'm Dabo Swinney. I'm a good football coach. That's the best case scenario. Option three, he pulls a Tony Bennett, right? Tony Bennett was just like, yo, I'm not doing any of this. I'm out of here. Peace. That's the Tony Bennett way. You've got a Dave Clawson in that club, right? You look around, see what's going on. Coach K, Jim Boeheim, Roy Williams, right? The number of example, guys who look around are like, the same for me. Nick Saban, certainly. And if he does that, if he retires, all right, you got a fresh slate. This is still a tough job to fill, Clemson football, but it's doable. There's tradition. There's a great fan base. There's enough money there. Somebody would take the Clemson job and could build it into something. But if Dabo stays, man, they got to change things up there big time. We'll get to Virginia Tech. We'll get to UVA later in the program. Right now, though, we're going to go inside the Commander's locker room, and we're going to do it on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. It is easy and fun to steal time from future segments until that bill comes due. We're a little bit behind, but we've had a lot of fun. Talking Dan Quinn and the bloody nose today. That's the image of the Commanders now. I think he knows that, too. By the way, if he was a player, he would have found himself in the blue medical tent. They would have been looking to do the baseline testing, see if he had a concussion or not. Instead, he's a coach. He gets stitched up. He gets to give the rah-rah speech. And he shows not above a little playful ribbing. It was a fun outcome. It was weird. What was it Andrew Wiley say? Like, you don't want to, like, rally around a guy getting knocked out, but we kind of rallied around a guy getting knocked out. That's football. That's the sport it is. It's a rough-and-tumble sport, and Dan Quinn knew his role, and he got everybody fired up for a monster second half. I know what the final score says, but at the same time, these guys dominated start to finish and could have had more points. Missed opportunity. Marcus Mariota fumble early. Missed field goal by Matt Gay early. There could have been a lot more points on the board. As it was, they certainly got enough and showed this offense has a lot of versatility to it. The Cliff Kingsbury hype train very much rolls on for another week. And we're still in confusing season in the NFL, too, because the Packers lost to the Cleveland Browns, who are wearing the ugliest uniforms of all time. And by the way, how appropriate is that? The Browns come out, it's like, those are the ugliest uniforms of all time. And then they beat the Green Bay Packers, so now they can't ever not wear them again. Those are the rules. Remember the other year when this is like a decade ago now. I think they were probably the San Diego Chargers back then. The San Diego Chargers wore the powder blue and won and just kept wearing them and won for like 9 weeks and it became a superstition and they wouldn't take them off. Hey, that's it. That's NFL. Browns are going to be wearing those the poop jerseys for a while now. I'm just calling them what they are. The Bengals may not be good. The Vikings with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz coming out of his shell to have himself a day. NFL, man, you never know what the NFL is going to give you. Here's what I know. If I was a quarterback and I was struggling or I just come off, like if I was a Daniel Jones-style quarterback, I would call my agent and I'd say, get me to Minnesota pronto. They're doing things up there. They revive careers. They make quarterbacks great. Get me to Minnesota. Get me a good coach. Then I'm going to go catch the bag on the other side. Or maybe stay there. If you feel like taking a pay cut to win, which you should if you're an NFL quarterback. Because if you're an NFL quarterback and you win, you're on every TV commercial all day long. It more than makes up for what's on the other side. I mentioned the Falcons briefly. What a terrible day for them, because the Panthers stink. I get that they have pieces. I actually kind of like a lot of the guys on the Panthers. As a whole, that's a poorly run team, though. Getting blanked in Carolina is going to be a low point for them for a while. But the Packers, what do you make of the NFL? The Packers throttle the Commanders. They're co-Super Bowl favorites with the Eagles. The Eagles had their own adventure, by the way. And then you lose to Cleveland. What does it mean? Make it make sense. And then these guys throw out the Packers game, and you'd say they absolutely look like bona fide Super Bowl contenders the way they've pushed around the Raiders and the Giants. But are those two subpar teams? It's fascinating. It takes some time to sort out. It's a 17-game season. We get it sorted out. What I know is Dan Quinn got bloodied, Jaden Daniels got some much-needed rest, and everybody gets a breather for a week from what could have been a really bad loss, or even if Jaden had played and won, a costly win, because, man, the injuries are piling up here in D.C., so it was good to have a win, reset the conversation for a week. Eagles with the all-time, deliver the all-time bad beat to the Rams better. Rams, two field goals blocked in the fourth quarter, and I said the only team that could beat the Eagles is the Eagles. They're not beating the Eagles right now. That's good coaching. That's good playing. That's good executing. First blocked field goal, they had a personal foul, right? So you say, uh-oh, is that Jalen Carter, man? Like, the Eagles beating the Eagles. They're so well coached. They're the new Belichick's, right? He always had something up his sleeve to block two field goals in one quarter of football, right? That's the stuff you work on all week. That's the stuff you practice. Aaron Rodgers. Hype train rolls on with the win in Pittsburgh. Trevor Lawrence is not good. I've said that many times. I think this is the end of the road for him. But C.J. Stroud was somehow worse yesterday. A wild day down there in Jacksonville, where both teams had so many chances back and forth to win that game. It was the kind of day where you could follow the other games, and these fans in Landover took off for the exits early, and I certainly don't blame them. As we were waiting to go inside the locker room, traffic cleared out quickly. Not that 95 was fast. 95's never fast, but we certainly had a pleasant day inside Northwest Stadium as they did as they gave a show. I think the big moment for me was probably Terry, when it felt like he had a touchdown. The place exploded, was chanting for Terry. Everybody's getting pumped up. Everybody wants to see Terry back. And even just getting that pass was a big achievement for getting Terry back. Didn't quite get across the line. That's all right. Terry always seems to get caught. That's all right. It's another step on the journey of getting Terry back. And these are important times for Terry. He's going to need to help Marcus Mariota through this. And Mariota trusts Terry, too, which is an important factor. We've got so much of a Terry library here, right? Some quarterbacks trust him, some didn't. Carson Wentz never seemed to look his way. And then Taylor Heinicke, screw it, I'm throwing to Terry every single play. It seems like Mariota has that baked-in trust. I think Jaden has the trust. They just didn't have the timing. I think Jaden's a timing quarterback. Terry's maybe more of a feel contested catch wide receiver. So I think that's probably something where maybe it's a little purer of a fit. Nobody's saying Marcus Mariota should be his team's long-term quarterback. What we're saying is he's going to give Jaden Daniels 17 days off between games, which is a luxury in the middle of an NFL season. That's why you pick your backup quarterback carefully. That's why you pick your offensive coordinator carefully. Cliff dialed up some winners. You heard the running backs saluting him earlier. For sure. We got one more segment left. We'll take you up to AWOD Radio. Grant and Danny this afternoon, 3 to 6. We'll love to get their take on Victory Monday, obviously. Who's talking at 6 o'clock? UVA-themed show. UVA with a nice win over Stanford. And then we saw Andrew Luck at the game yesterday. So a lot to get to. Busy Monday, as they all are. They go quickly on a football Monday. We'll wrap things up. We'll send you off to AWOD after this. You're listening to Richmond's Home of the Commanders. This is
tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. And be on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. As you know, grab the podcast. MP on the mic everywhere you get your podcast. Celebrate with us as a victory Monday for the Washington Commanders. And we are spoiled. So few NFL teams get blowouts in a given year, much less multiple blowouts. 2 and 3 weeks. I know there was a lot of hand-wringing after the Packers game. I know there's a lot of concern for Jaden Daniels, for the secondary, for these injuries. I think we got to enjoy the wins when we have them, though, and I think we've got to enjoy blowout wins, particularly when we have them. And boy, did we have one yesterday. A phenomenal performance against the Las Vegas Raiders. And Pete Carroll, who's jumping around, doing his shtick, substituting slowly. Learned that from the Packers. Overloading his tight ends. Learned that from the Packers last week. Spitting his gum everywhere. I don't know where he learned that from, but he does it. I like some of the Raiders' pieces. I do. I like some of their skill guys. But at the same time, this was a mismatch. And in a mismatch, you got to take care of business. And they took care of business. And we love to see it. And we love to celebrate with y'all on Victory Monday. AWOD will keep the party going momentarily. He's at Capitol Ale House. That's the home of Richmond's OG Burger Night. And he'll be putting on a celebration. That's how you bounce back. You flush the Packers game. You get 10 days. You take advantage of the extra rest. It's not always going to be like that. But when you've got the advantage, you got to press that advantage. And they pressed their advantage. I love what I saw. Love what they had. Love the atmosphere. Love the environment. A lot of Raiders fans. But I all right, we'll just insult the Raiders fans here. The Raiders fans are like at a Halloween party. The Raiders fans aren't like living and dying with every snap. They were still like doing their chants in the fourth quarter when it was 34-10. Good on them for that. They were having fun. They were very high. Many of them were, if the smells from the parking lot were any indication. I'm glad they had a good time. I'm glad they felt welcome at Northwest Stadium. Hopefully they enjoyed the Block W pretzel, the stadium nachos, all the things that make a day at Northwest Stadium so great and so expensive. But it was a game they should have won for the Commanders. It was a game they did win. You take advantage of those moments. And then to get explosive plays, too. You know, you look back at the pregame checklist. Yeah, A1's got the sounder, the check, check. I don't have the check, check. I could do it, obviously. But you go back to the pregame, get some takeaways. They didn't. They still haven't gotten some takeaways. It's still an issue. But create explosive plays offensively. Yeah, they did that. They did that on the very first play. Debo kick return, 69 yards. Nice start to the game for Debo Samuel. You get another one. You get a punt return for a touchdown. And that's the good stuff right there. A little beamer ball. They played inner Sandman too. Lots for everybody to be excited about. Jeremy McNichols breaking off a 60-yarder. Terry getting the long pass wasn't a touchdown, but was still cool to see. Got to see Von Miller and Bobby Wagner get sacks in an NFL football game. Come on, man. Where else would you rather be than watching two legends get sacks in a football game? I wrote down the Bobby Wagner stat. He became the third player in NFL history. I'm pulling out the legal pad here. Third player in NFL history to record 1,100 tackles and 100 tackles for a loss. Both of those things He's a legend. We're watching him do his thing. He's going to tie London Fletcher this year when he gets his 100th tackle of the season. That's going to be a ceremony. We'll all be watching that, obviously. London will be watching that. We'll try to get him on the show around that because he was really cool about it last year, and I think he'll be really cool about it again this year. Saw him after the game. We're going to try to line up Bram. Obviously, Trey's done. It's not Tuesdays with Trey anymore because the squirrel season's over. We're going to try to get Tuesdays with Bram, which is not alliterative. We're going to have to allow it, though. We'll find a way to bring him in, bring him on this show. Celebrate the good times and get ready for tough games ahead. I know Atlanta lost 30-0. Look around the NFL. Packers lose to the Browns. Strange things happen every week. You're going to have a motivated team. Some revenge games coming up here, too. Revenge game for last year, the Sunday night game where Washington clinched its playoff spot, took the Falcons out of the running. And then you've also got that revenge game against Chicago, the Hail Mary revenge game for the Bears, who looked good against the Cowboys yesterday in Chicago. Ben Johnson's got that role. I know there's a Caleb Johnson hater population. I'm not one of them, but there's a big-time Ben Johnson hater population, and I'm not one of them either. I think he was immature in the way he turned down the job in Washington. But I also think he's a really smart football coach, and I think you see his missing impact in Detroit as well now that they're gone. The Lions, of course, taking the field tonight against the Ravens. That'd be a fun game. Pair of one-and-one teams. I think the Ravens win easily tonight, but I think that'll be fun because the Dan Campbell team's always scrappy, always fighting. It'll be a lot of fun to watch tonight, Lions-Ravens. I think the Ravens take care of business. No hangover for them from that opener in Buffalo. Their chance at the bye probably went away, but I think they can still win the AFC North easily. Bengals don't appear to be a factor. Steelers are fine. Aaron Rodgers is fine. And then the Cleveland Browns, who beat the Packers. Maybe they're a juggernaut. Who knows? Nobody knows in the NFL anymore. Nobody knows on a Victory Monday here. We celebrate the Washington Commanders. Wrapping up high school and college as well. Verina holding serve, letting everybody know title still comes through them on Route 5 as we build up to the big Verina Highland Springs game this year, which I know Gary Hess and Coach Chris will have for us. Gary on the call last week as Verina reestablishes itself as the local power, and we're starting the round robin of the private schools too, which would be a lot of fun. Three legit state title contenders among the private schools. You got Benedictine, Trinity, and St. Chris. Watching them play each other, beat up on each other, is going to be a lot of fun. At the college level, rewind to 10-15 if you missed it, because we talked about how JMU's gone from two quarterbacks to one. That may be exactly what they need to kickstart a little Sun Belt run here, because I think they've got the talent to do it. I think we were waiting for the coaching staff to figure out what it looks like to run a playoff contender football team, and I think they have that. A big win for the Hokies. Not a surprise, but still, you don't take them for granted these days. And then UVA with a nice win as well over Stanford. I think UVA gets to 8. I think 8's the Hokie game. I think they're in a reasonable bowl this year. But, man, they got to win that Virginia Tech game. Who's talking will take it over at 6 o'clock tonight. They'll talk about all that. It's the Dan Quinn nose game, though, at the end of the day. We can chop it up. Debo was good, and all these things were happening. At the end of the day, it's the Dan Quinn bloody nose game. He fired up his crew. He was awesome. He provided exactly the spark they needed. And Marcus Mariota trucking him on the sidelines is going to be the enduring image of that game. Dan Quinn celebrating the field goal by pumping his fist while he has the bloody nose. And he was wearing it in the post game. He was not unaware of what it meant to the team to have that happen. He was not unaware of the impact he had by leaving that. He got it stitched up, but he left a little bloody just for show. Just for being a football coach, hey, he can get dirty too if he needs to. Fun game, fun win, fun Victory Monday. Great sharing it with all of you. And we'll have Commanders Rewind tomorrow. As we do, you'll hear some of our favorite plays from the game. That's always a blast. We'll have a great week ahead as we get ready for Atlanta. Maybe a game against Kirk Cousins. We'll find out in the coming days. Dan Quinn will chat with reporters at 3:30 today. Grant and Danny will bring you the latest as that happens as we wait on word. Who are they going to be playing? Is it Kirk Cousins? Is it Michael Penix? As we get word on Jaden Daniels as well,
When will he practice this week? What will that look like? I think he will play. I'm not ready to like go to the mat with that. My hunch is he plays Sunday, and this was a nice reprieve, a nice break for him to get the game off, to get Marcus Mariota in, to take care of business. We took care of business here. It was great going inside the locker room with y'all. Grab the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button if you need anything. Until then, we are back tomorrow. AWOD takes over next from Capital Ale House. You're listening to the home of the Commanders in Richmond. This is 910 The Fan, Nat 105.1 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.